Well, I won't dwell on the establishment of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, since Pastor Carl Gallup's covered the subject well. I will, however, point out that Jerusalem has always been the capital of Israel, dating back to 4,500 to 3,500 years before Christ, long before Muhammad was born or Islam flourished. In 1995, the United States Congress overwhelmingly voted to acknowledge Jerusalem as Israel's capital in the Jerusalem Embassy Act. 23 years later, not one U.S. president has had the backbone to move our embassy to Israel's capital. Not Bill Clinton, not George W. Bush, and certainly not Barack Hussein Obama. Today, President Trump moved the American embassy 40 miles up the road from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Critics immediately jumped on him, including the very politicians who voted in 1995 to declare Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Hypocrisy knows no bounds in the swamp that is Washington. There are several topics on my mind today, and I'll begin with the disintegration of family values. The internet is a valuable tool, and I am all for increased technology. But at the same time, I'm appalled at the use of emails and texting within families. It takes the human touch out of relationships. This generation of young people can hardly walk without stumbling as they gaze at that little handheld screen. Kids talk to parents, parents talk to kids by email and texting. Grandparents are especially lost in the dust because they don't believe that it is healthy for the kids and grandkids to rely solely on iPhones when dealing with them. I, for one, long for the days when neighbors actually knew one another and spoke to one another when meeting. Front porches where neighbors could sit and talk and catch up. There were no cell phones, no iPads, no iPhones in my generation, and we got along pretty well. I have a cell phone and an iPhone and internet service, which I do use, but I try to make it a point to greet people eye to eye as much as possible, especially family members. Most of today's generation feels that when you do extraordinary things for them, a simple thank you from a cell phone is enough. Well, I beg to differ. Each of our days are numbered, even the young. Visit your parents and grandparents as often as possible. Speak to them, and not by email. There will come a day, and it could be sooner than you think, when that parent or grandparent can no longer hear you. When that time comes, your cell phone and iPhone will be useless. There has never been a better opportunity to push for congressional term limits than right now. A bill has been introduced in the House to set term limits for members of Congress. It will be fought long and hard by the aging Republicans and Democrats who make a career out of legislative office. Write or call your congressional member and let them know that if they do not back term limits, they will not get your vote when up for re-election, and stick to your guns. My daddy used to question why somebody would spend large amounts of money to get a job that paid so little. The answer is that it's not their money they are spending. It comes in the form of donations from people who see it as a way to gain influence with a politician. Secondly, the salary that a member of Congress receives, while a lot of money to the average American, is not the reason they want the job. It's the influence they wield, the power they have to spend other people's money on projects their donors want. It is the ability to become millionaires while in office, not on a salary of $175,000 a year, but on the side deals that are privy from deep-pocketed campaign donors. Frankly, a cushy job in Congress is a license to steal, and many of them do. Lobbyists roam the halls of Congress with ready money on hand. Inside tips are given to members of Congress who play ball with these lobbying leeches. Cheap stock opportunities are passed to members before becoming available to the public at higher prices. Stock is then cashed in when the prices rise due to a congressional member's actions on the House or Senate floor. Look at people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who are long in the tooth, but still clinging on to their dentures and their congressional seats. While Democrats talk about rich Republicans, you might be surprised to know that there are more rich Democrats in Congress than Republicans. Joe Biden brags about how little money he's been able to save. But what he does not tell you is that his and John Kerry's sons have become multimillionaires using their father's name and government positions in private dealings with the Iranians and the Chinese. If you want to see corruption in its purest form, get a copy of Peter Schweitzer's new book, Secret Empires, where he spells out the crafty deals that Biden and Kerry's sons have been able to put together with foreign countries where their father's negotiations were ongoing. You need to keep a barf bag handy because you will need it. Schweitzer wrote the bestseller Clinton Cash, in which he detailed the unethical dealings of Bill and Hillary Clinton and how Bill and Hillary worked on a government salary and yet became worth some $300 million. But it's not just the Democrats. Toss Republican Mitch McConnell and others into that sordid group. The book details instances where a member of Congress has influenced a vote favoring a particular project in a foreign country and then saw cash funneled back to them. Some question why John Kerry was frantically trying to stop President Trump from taking us out of the one-sided Iranian nuclear deal. Kerry's reasons were simple. It was a deal that he, as Secretary of State, and Barack Hussein Obama, as President, rammed through. Obama did that on his own, with Kerry as his mouthpiece. Congress never approved the Iranian nuclear deal. In fact, at the time that Kerry and Obama were cooking up this one-sided fiasco, many Democrats, including Pelosi and Schumer, were against it. This bad deal would never have passed in the House and Senate, and Obama knew it, so he simply made this constitutionally flawed deal himself by executive order. Today, after President Trump did what he promised the American people he would do and took the United States out of this deal, Pelosi and Schumer and the fake news media pretend that it was really a good deal that Obama hatched on his own. How can a human being be more of a hypocrite? Does the Democratic Party have no shame at all? So just how bad was the Iranian nuclear deal? It was so one-sided in Iran's favor that the mullahs threatened dire consequences should the United States exit the deal. They cussed and screamed in their parliament. They burned American flags and shouted for death to America, a chant heard daily on the streets of Tehran. If the deal was that good for Iran, why wasn't it that bad for us? The answer, it was. Barack Hussein Obama was anxious to give Iran this one-sided nuclear deal, so anxious that he willingly sent the Iranians more than $150 billion, much of it in cash, where the money could not be traced. And who believes that some of that money did not find its way back to Obama and Kerry? The Iranian mullahs are Obama's people. He said publicly that if the political winds shifted against Islam, he, Barack Hussein Obama, would side with Islam, not the United States. We do know that some of that money found its way back to back terrorism. Iran is the world's largest supporter of terrorist activity. The Iranians expected John Kerry to find a way to keep America in that deal that he and Obama had concocted. But Kerry no longer had the clout on the world stage. He tried. He visited other countries. He failed. We also know that Iran used Obama's gift money to strengthen their military, a military that issues daily threats to wipe Israel off the map. Such an action would trigger World War III and the destruction of Iran. None of that mattered to Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry. In my research for today's commentary, I give credit to Guy Benson of Town Hall for his contributions. The deed is done. The Obama administration's executive deal on the Iranian nuclear program is no longer U.S. policy. It's undoubtedly true that Trump's decision to end that agreement is a controversial one that flies in the face of many American allies, diplomatic preferences, and postures. President Trump did the right thing, because the Iran deal constituted an irresponsible, lopsided, and weak giveaways to one of the most evil regimes on our planet. By Obama's own admission, the Iran nuclear agreement clears the way for the Iranian regime to achieve threshold nuclear-armed status. The pact's key Western-imposed restrictions automatically expire after a period of 10 to 15 years, over which time Iran is explicitly permitted to enrich uranium, utilize advanced centrifuges, and continue key research and development activity. The regime's nuclear program was, at best, temporarily mothballed. Obama simply kicked the can down the road. Why was a nuclear-armed Iran better in 10 to 15 years than it was then? The answer? It wasn't. Obama's administration pledged that its negotiations with Iran would result in Iran's nuclear program being ended, with all paths to nuclear weapons being closed off. In reality, what they eventually agreed to amounted to a pause button, which overwhelmingly benefited the Iranians, who received more than $150 billion in sanctions relief in exchange for fleeting concessions on their part. Here's a quote from Barack Hussein Obama himself. He said, "What is a more relevant fear would be that in year 13, 14, or 15, they have advanced centrifuges that enrich uranium fairly rapidly. And at that point, the breakout times would have shrunk almost down to zero. The key point is, even if Iran had chose to be fully compliant, the agreement would merely slightly delay their nuclear ambition. While paving a path to a globally legitimized nuclear program in the near future. Furthermore, both the former president and the UN Secretary General have each acknowledged that post-implementation Iran has been funneling money to terrorist organizations, money gifted to them by Barack Hussein Obama. This, of course, comes as no surprise, given the Death to America regime's long-standing status as the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism. Former Congressman and Democratic vice presidential nominee Joe Lieberman laid out the case for Trump's important determination of action on the Iran pact. Lieberman said, "Rather than acting in good faith and admitting their prior pursuit of nuclear weapons, Iran lied repeatedly while secretly hiding its vast trove of nuclear know-how, specifically cataloged for the purpose of developing nuclear weapons in the future. The idea," Lieberman said, "was to dupe the West into offering all sorts of goodies along the way, only to dust off their nuclear research when the coast was relatively clear." Almost everybody suspected that Iran was lying about its previous activities. But Israel's recent intelligence bonanza proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Israeli spies managed to steal tens of thousands of pages of Iranian nuclear files from their secret storage facility in Tehran, likely with help from the inside. Under the terms of the agreement, Iran had no choice but to completely open its books prior to ratification. Instead, they lied and literally hid their books, which the world can now see thanks to the Israeli Mossad's clandestine efforts. This puts the lie to the oft-repeated refrain that Iran is in compliance with the deal. That was false, and we now know that they cheated from the very beginning. This should have rendered the agreement null and void by itself. And by the way, did you know that under the terms of the Iranian deal that Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry concocted, the United States would have been obligated to defend Iran against Israel? Have you heard the Israelis chanting death to Iran daily or death to America ever? Yet Obama wanted us to fight Israelis in defense of Iran. President Trump did not cancel an American deal with Iran. He canceled Barack Hussein Obama's deal with Iran, which Congress never ratified and never would have ratified. Now, the American people have been sold a load of fertilizer by a devious bunch of career liberal Democrats and the disgusting fake news mainstream media. Since before his election, the fake news liberal media has tried to undermine the Trump agenda. No human being is wrong about everything all the time. And yet, far-left Democrats and their fake news media allies have attacked every single thing that Donald Trump has done to implement the agenda he was elected to put into place. An astounding 91% of the fake news media's reports on Trump have been negative. 91%. Either Trump, his wife, or children have been under fire constantly for things that do not even reach the level of news. I am an American. I am not a hyphenated American, though my ancestors came from England. I am neither Democrat nor Republican. My concern is the best interests of the United States. Unlike greedy politicians, I accept no money or rewards for the work I do on research to bring my commentaries to you, and thus I am not obligated to any special interest. I keep repeating that to show that what you hear from me is well-researched and the whole truth. So often I hear somebody say, "I don't know what to trust anymore." I understand that. After 54 years in radio and television, I find myself amazed and disappointed at the lies and fake news of the American media. Their focus is on trivial matters at the expense of major concerns. But you can depend on the truth in my weekly commentaries. Even at Fox News, the liberal bias is on display every time Shepard Smith opens his mouth. At 3 p.m. last Wednesday, Shepard Smith opened his show with comments about a porn actress named Stormy Daniels. Instead of the breaking news about President Trump's successful effort to bring home three Americans that were being held in a Korean prison on fake charges. I refuse to watch Fox when Shepard Smith is on. Barack Hussein Obama could not bring home those three Americans who have been imprisoned at hard labor, but Donald Trump's no-nonsense policies brought them home. The fake news media will make little of that amazing feat. Moreover, the Democrats and the fake news media keep saying and printing things to inflame North Korea's dictator, Kim Jong-un. Calling Kim weak and criticizing every concession that Kim gives into is designed to make him lose face in North Korea, and it is not helpful in Trump's efforts to finally bring an end to the Korean War and denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. Kim Jong-un raised his hackles last week, and you can't blame him. The Chinese had to come and call him down again. Critics of Trump will say that Trump himself said things that riled up Kim, but that was to make him understand that he was no longer dealing with a weak Barack Hussein Obama or George Bush or Bill Clinton for that matter, and it worked. Once Kim and the Chinese figured out that Trump was no pushover and was willing to back up his words, they decided that the best course for them was not to challenge Donald Trump. Donald Trump began to temper his words about the North Korean dictator. The liberal Democrats and fake news media stepped up their propaganda effort to embarrass Kim on the world stage. Remember when Bill Clinton took to national television to say that his namby-pamby actions had brought an end forever to North Korea's nuclear program? The North Koreans have played the United States presidents like Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Hussein Obama for fools. But that era has ended. When I encounter somebody who rails against President Trump, I always ask them why. They have no solid answers. They regurgitate what the fake news media and liberal Democrats have told them. Trump lies, they'll proclaim. But Trump hasn't lied under oath, as Bill Clinton did. Every politician bends the truth. In today's hostile media climate, if Trump says something that others disagree with, it's labeled a lie. Meanwhile, the liberal Democrats and fake news media make news out of things like Trump's hair, for Pete's sake. A woman who makes a living in pornography made an accusation that she and Trump had a one-night consensual romance more than a decade ago when Trump was a private citizen. And Democrats and their fake news friends made a major issue of it and are still doing it. This woman has had a consensual relationship with some 1,000 men in the porn industry. But Stormy Daniels has a seedy lawyer who is bosom buddies with Chicago's corrupt Democratic mayor, Rahm Emanuel, and they conspire to keep this ridiculous folly in the news. The porn actress is having the time of her life. She's on legitimate TV and charging double her old fee for strip club events. But who's paying for all of this? Just before the 2016 election, this porn princess extorted $130,000 from Trump's lawyer in return for her not making her accusation public just before the election. After the election, devious Democrats urged this woman to come back for more money and help them undermine President Trump. Even the parents of Stormy Daniels don't speak to her. They voted for Trump and say they'd vote for him again. Parents know their children better than anybody else. And this porno siren's parents haven't spoken to her in years. So what does Daniels get out of all of this? More than her 15 minutes of fame, because the fake news media and liberal Democrats keep her or her lawyer on television daily. She's raking in money for taking off her clothes. Democrats, in return, get to use this pitiful woman as a bludgeon against Trump. It's all a nasty setup. Trump has denied her accusation, and there is so far no evidence that she is not making up the story for personal gain and allowing Democrats to use her like a rented mule. Think about this. Is it any of your business or mine what Donald Trump did in his personal sex life more than a decade ago? And is it really news? That's a rhetorical question because in our hearts, we all know that it is not news, and certainly not the kind of news to push the issue of a denuclearized North Korea off the front pages. And none of our business. Democrats rallied to the defense of Bill Clinton when he lied under oath, questioned what the meaning of is, and was accused by multiple women of rape and of abuse. Democrats said that wasn't news, it was just sex. How dirty their hypocritical minds changed when they thought they had a way to undermine the president's agenda. Donald Trump was not elected because he is politically correct or a perfect human being. Americans were tired of the same old sleazy politics and faced with the alternative of Hillary Clinton, a politician whose unethical behavior began in college and has carried through her entire adult life. Her arrogant attitude that she was entitled to the presidency turned off even Democrats. A few of them voted for Mickey Mouse. Others stayed home rather than vote for a woman much despised. Hillary assumed that she need not show any care for the voters in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Wisconsin by going there to meet and listen to them, and so they turned out in record numbers for Trump's rallies. And when Election Day came, they voted to keep Hillary Clinton out of the Oval Office. Let me be perfectly clear. Donald Trump came up in a world of business where you figuratively kill or be killed. He developed his brash style and became a multi-billionaire. He was leading a comfortable life when he decided to run for the presidency. Why anyone would want that office is beyond me, but Trump believed that he could make a difference in American politics, and so he waded in. The nasty flack from liberal Democrats and the fake news media started immediately. What most people really think about President Trump has been formed by a dishonest media and political hacks like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Truth doesn't matter. If these sinister forces report their lies often enough, many people will begin to believe them. There is no question that Donald Trump, the businessman and the president, has a belligerent personality. He can speak indelicately at times. He says whatever's on his mind, but that's a transparency we have not had in presidents or Congress in many decades. Career politicians are schooled in double talk and advised to be politically correct in all statements. Trump tells it like it is, and that infuriates the fake news media and frustrates career Democrats. A few Republicans, in name only, are in that group of Trump haters as well, notably John McCain, who is near death and will die filled with hate. Trump is an America first kind of guy, and not afraid or ashamed to honor his country. Unlike Barack Hussein Obama, who traveled the world apologizing for America and bowing to Islamic leaders, Trump is not obligated to special interests, as most politicians are, and he has his priorities set straight. He's for free enterprise, lower taxes, smaller government, a strong military, protecting our borders, and keeping nukes out of the wrong hands. He is saving the United States billions of dollars by cutting funding from a United Nations filled with anti-American countries who hate us. He is for term limits in Congress. He is cutting Obama's regulations that were stifling business and causing more unemployment. Exactly what is it about that Trump agenda that you disagree with? Instead of informing you about the agenda I just described, Democrats and the fake news media want to divert your attention to discussions about the man's hair and who he may have slept with as a private citizen more than a decade ago. These same Trump enemies are responsible for bringing on a special investigator, Robert Mueller, to search for collusion between Trump and Russia. After more than a year and millions of tax dollars wasted, there has been no truth found to back up the accusations. So now, this special investigator and his merry band of Clinton contributors have shifted to areas far removed from the Russia inquiry, even to including the Stormy Daniels speculations. Daniels couldn't find Russia on a world map. It's all been a Democratic setup and propaganda fodder for the lamestream media. My point is this. The United States is in far better shape today than when Barack Hussein Obama left office. Unemployment is below 4%. Hispanics and blacks have the lowest unemployment rate in decades. Over Democrat objections, this president is determined to seal our southern border and stop the influx of illegal immigrants and deadly drug traffic. Trump has served notice on Russia, China, Iran, and other rogue states that the days of America rolling over and playing dead for them are over. Why do liberal Democrats have a problem with that? Because the better Trump does in office, the least likely Democrats will regain power. And to them, power is all that matters. I don't care about Trump's hair. I don't care who he may or may not have slept with more than a decade ago or last Thursday. I am tired of a sleazy Democratic Party and fake news media using trivial matters as news when major positive news is being generated. I will take a man like Donald Trump and all of his political incorrectness any day when they accomplish the results that Trump has delivered in just over a year over a liberal Democrat who wasted 8 years in the Oval Office with nothing to show for his tenure there. We live in dangerous times. Results are the barometer we have to use with presidents, and Donald Trump has delivered amazing results in his brief time in office. And one last thing today. On Wednesday of last week, Gina Haspel, Trump's nominee as CIA director, a woman with a long, distinguished career in our intelligence service, was grilled by Democrats in the Senate. These Democrats feel that Haspel has been and will be too hard on terrorists. Not one of those despicable Democrats voiced an objection when the CIA waterboarded three known terrorists who we knew had knowledge of plots to kill Americans, one of whom led us to Osama bin Laden when he tired of being waterboarded. This was after the 9/11 chaos, which took the lives of some 3,000 fellow Americans and led to serious health problems for hundreds more. Now, after all these years, Senate Democrats want us to feel sorry for the terrorists behind the 9/11 attack and the earlier attack on the World Trade Center. Ms. Haspel has nothing to be ashamed of, except for the sleazy Democrats who berated her on television. She should be, and most likely will be, approved as our new CIA director. Those who took to television to take cheap shots at this patriotic woman have no conscience, or they'd apologize for piling on a woman who had to sit and take their garbage in order to be confirmed. The worst offender was Kamala Harris, a Democrat from where else? California, who kept badgering Ms. Haspel to give a yes or no answer to a loaded question. Keep your eye on Kamala Harris. She has presidential ambitions, but would be a horrible choice. Stormy Daniels sells her body. Kamala Harris sells her soul.